See, fear has the focus on whom? Me. What do they think about me? Are they going to reject me? Am I good enough? Will I make a mistake? Are they going to get mad at me? What if something goes wrong with this relationship? What will happen to me? It's all about me, me, me. You go into a social setting and you go, oh, do I look good? Do they like the colors of my dress? Is my fingernail painted correctly? Does my purse match my shoes? Is there toilet paper hanging from me at all? Nobody's thinking about you because they're all thinking about themselves.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message entitled A Winning Hand, where we learned that there are a lot of things in life we have no control over, but it's not as much about the hand we are dealt as it is how we play the hand. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, A Winning Hand.
Well, you say, well, Wayne, what do I do now with these? How do I play this hand? Let me give you five tips, five choices that will help you and I make a winning hand out of it, and how the Lord will help. Here it is, choices to develop a winning hand. The first is this: I cannot choose my conception, my parents, my siblings, conception, how I'm made, my DNA, my bone structure, my height, etc. But I can choose to get healthier. Isn't that right? Can't choose what I got, but I can choose to get healthier. That's exactly what the scripture says. Let's read Psalm 119, verse 73. Go. You made me. You created me. Now give me the sense to follow your commands. I love that. You gave me this body. Now give me the sense to maintain it correctly. That's your choice. See, what you are is God's choice. What you make of it is your choice. And that's what He evaluates us on. Not the amount of talents. What did you do with them? Well, I'd rather have His hand. No. I gave you that card. Well, the circumstances here, I just hate the circumstances. Well, I gave you that card. What are you going to do with it? I hate it. I'm going to be bitter. It's up to you. You can't change your hand, but you can change your response to it, because that is what will determine your future, not your hand. Well, why not? Because the hand is uncontrollable. But there's parts of each uncontrollable card that's controllable. See, it's not my conception, but it's what I do with it. I can get healthier. I can improve myself. I can eat better. I can exercise. I can watch my sleep patterns. There's so much that I can do. Listen, if you'll control the controllables, it will lessen the impact that the uncontrollable will have on your life. But a lot of us do a terrible job at controlling what can be controlled. That's our role. God is this one here. But if we don't do our part, why should God do His? We don't do ours. We expect God to just change everything for us. And God's saying, I'm not going to play the hand for you. I will be with you. I'll guide you into all truth. I'll help you. I'll send the Holy Spirit. I'll tutor you. I'll do everything. I'll give you wisdom. But you do it, because it's a partnership. And I want your choice to be involved. You know why choice is so important? Because God wants a love relationship with us. And you cannot have love without choice. If I said to my wife, Anna, you better love me now. You love me. I don't care if you don't want to. Love me. Okay. Well, it's not love. It might be duty. It might be fear. Fear of reprisal. Fear of punishment. It won't be love. Love requires a choice. Can I say something to the men here? Women, you can close your ears. But men, let me say something to you. And I say that like that because when I say that to the women, they listen twice as much right now because they're all going, ooh, ni ele for me. Listen carefully, men. Because love incurs choice, requires choice, one of the best things you can learn is learn how to nurture your wife's choice to love you. Don't just demand. If you don't do this, then you're going to get my anger. If you don't, you're just getting my ire up, you know. Oh, are you just, I'm not talking to you. Well, then that's not a partnership. It's like, I got to do this, otherwise I fear reprisal. I fear his anger. And so a lot of marriages are based on not love, but what? It's based on fear. And so we have to nurture the choice of the woman that says, I want to love this person. I want to be with this person. I'd love to serve you this and help you with this. That way she becomes developed as a helpmate. Help me. And so choice is so incredibly important. You've got to have choice in order to love. In order to love. So God gives every single one of us a choice of how we can do what we do with our bodies better. In fact, would you read this? Controlling the controllables will reduce the impact the uncontrollable can have on your life. If you're full grown, you can't get any taller. I've tried, forget it, won't work. You can't get any more of whatever you say, well, I want, unless you go to hair club, you can't get more hair. It's just how you are. But you can make the best of it by choice. So the first is, I can choose to get healthier. Now, I can't change my connections, but I can choose to improve and deepen them. See, that's a controllable. I can either build bridges or burn them. I can choose to develop better communication skills, make better connections, maybe reduce bad ones and increase or make new ones. Let me tell you one of the greatest preventions or opponents to making new connections. Because sometimes we say, well, this is all we got, so that's it. And we're afraid to launch out. Now, you can't get rid of your cousins or you can't get rid of your siblings, but you can reduce the impact they have on you by making better and good and healthy connections and spend time that way. Then you have the energy and the wherewithal to deal with this because you're getting fed here. But if you make no new connections, you're wiped out and depleted every day. You got to have a filler. Well, what is that going to require? It's going to require you to take some risks to make some new and healthy connections. But you know what causes that to stop? The biggest hindrance to making new connections? Here it is, fear. Fear of rejection. Fear of being not liked. Well, that's why we go into a social setting and everyone's so awkward, you know. Go up there and introduce yourself. Awkward. Well, go over there and get involved in that group. Mom, awkward. Go to the youth group. Awkward. Let me say this very clearly. Listen carefully. Awkward will not kill you. It won't. It may be the best thing for you. Well, you know why we get awkward in social settings that are new? Even if it would be the best thing in the world. You know why? Because of fear of rejection. Well, what causes a fear of rejection? Thinking about yourself. We think about ourselves all the time. In fact, you say, well, Wayne, what's going to get rid of that fear? Well, 1 John tells us that. The Bible always has the answer. Let's read it. Go. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Now, why does love cast out fear? I'll tell you why. Because love takes the focus off of you and puts it on other people. See, fear has the focus on whom? Me. What do they think about me? Are they going to reject me? Am I good enough? Will I make a mistake? Are they going to get mad at me? What if something goes wrong with this relationship? What will happen to me? It's all about me, me, me. And fear increases the more you think about how you look. That's why you go into a social setting, and what does everybody think about? You go into a social setting, and you go, oh, do I look good? Do they like the colors of my dress? Is my fingernail painted correctly? Does my purse match my shoes? Is there toilet paper hanging from me at all? It's just thinking about me, 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 me. Isn't that right? They're all thinking about me. No, let me give you a piece of advice. Nobody's thinking about you. Because they're all thinking about themselves. How do I look? Do I have my fingernails right? Is there anything, isn't that right? Nobody's thinking about you. Forget it. So how do you overcome that? Here it is. Listen carefully. Fear enters the room and says, how do I look? Are they going to accept me? Will I say the right thing? Maybe I should just shut up. Maybe I shouldn't say anything. I want to... Fear. Watch this. Love enters the room. Now remember, perfect love casts out all. Okay, fear just entered the room. Now, love enters the room, and this is what love says. I wonder if someone needs a word of encouragement. Lord, is there anybody that I can just affirm? Maybe someone just needs a hug. I bet that person needs some help. I wonder if somebody here just needs a listening ear, just needs to talk, and I could be a listener. See the difference? See, love focuses on everybody else. It doesn't scare me. If I come into a room and just say, hi, how are you? I bet somebody just needs a word of affirmation. Can I go and encourage somebody? Lord, who do you want me to just give a hug to? Who is it that I can just tap on the shoulder and say, it's so good to have you here? Who can I appreciate and say I'm thankful for you and I'm grateful for you? You got work to do all day long if you have love. See, the antidote to fear is love. And you know, you want to know the best place in the world to develop new connections out of love? It's a church. The church is a place that God designed to develop new and healthy connections out of love and not fear. Because you learn to love. You learn to serve. And that's what the whole conference was about, doing church as a team, serving other people. What does it do? It casts out fear and it allows love to rule and to reign. Well, the next card was the card of circumstance. I can't control circumstances, but you know what? I can choose to trust God no matter what. I can choose to trust God no matter what. Because I know that God will use every circumstance for my good, even if I have no arms and I have no legs, if I can't see or hear or speak, God's going to use this. If I've got a thorn in the flesh or if I've got a sickness, it's how I play that card. God can use a sickness by which the good news comes to a whole nation of people. You understand? God makes no mistakes. And that flaw that we think is a flaw is not. You can hide it. You can cover it with fig leaves. And the Lord says, no. That just causes fear. No. Choose to trust me no matter what. In the message, Romans 8 has a wonderful scripture in verse 28. Would you read it with me? Go. God knows us far better than we know ourselves. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. God is able to do that. And if you play that card right, instead of bemoaning and demeaning circumstances and using it to get you bitter, I'm just going to trust God. I'm just going to trust God. When I first moved here with this church after the collapse of the building, I was just so nervous. I thought, oh God, this isn't going to work. This is way too small. And I should be leading the people. I should do something better than this. And the Lord just said, don't be so impetuous, because I was going to go out and buy the first thing I could find, you know, even if it cost $20 million. And I thought, no, I can't. I was so nervous. And then I just got to trust God, just trust God no matter what. And during this last conference, I just saw the spirit of our church just restored again and God doing something, and His presence was so amazing. And the Lord says, I'm doing something good. Don't you worry. You can't see it, but you don't need to. You just need to trust me no matter what. And one day we'll see it. Remember, faith is living in advance what we'll only understand one day in reverse. And God will work it into something good because I trust Him and I know it. Now, the last card, which was, fourth card, which was about other people thinking, you thinking about what people are saying. Remember, I cannot change what people say to me, but I can sure choose what I dwell on or think about. I can't stop what people say. John Wesley said it this way. It's really cool. He said, I can't stop birds from flying over my head, but I can sure stop them from making a nest in my hair. And I thought, that's about the lamest quote I have ever heard. But then I started thinking about it, and I thought, that's really good. You see, I can't stop thoughts or what people say from coming into my head, but I can sure choose what I'm gonna dwell on and allow to make a nest in my brain. So I've got to watch out. That's why Philippians 4:8 says, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely and good, of good repute, if there be anything worthy of excellence, and if anything be worthy of praise, let your minds dwell on these things. You see, what the Bible knew way before neurologists found this out is that when you think a thought, neurologically, there is a electrochemical current that goes from one synapsis to another. So you think a thought, think it again, think it a third time. After a while, you have a crease in your brain, and it's no longer how you think, it becomes a pattern of thinking. And after a while, it's not a pattern of thinking. You think it again 100 more times, 200 more times. It's not a pattern of thinking. It's a habitual way of thinking. And it's your habits that will determine the blueprint of your life. So after a while, let's say you react poorly to a situation that causes you emotional disturbance and you respond with anger. What is this? And then it happens somewhat near that again. What is this? Because you realize, oh, people jump to it. And so you do it again. What is going on? What's happening? And you start developing a rut in your mind. Some of us, it could be lust. It could be depression. It could be anger. It could be retaliation. It could be bitterness. It could be gossip, whatever it might be. But some of us have a rut in our mind. Anytime you get near something like that, you go to lunch with your girlfriend, oh, boom, let me tell you about Joe. Let me tell you about Susie. Let me tell you about, yeah, just boom, just go right into it. Some of you have not a rut. It's so deep, it's a canal now, and things run right through. That's why after a while of thinking, you can get something happens and you blow up. What is this? I'm mad. And after about 10 minutes, you go, what was I mad about? I don't know. It wasn't that big of a deal. No. What was I mad about? Huh, can't remember. Anyway, why, what happened? You went right into a rut. Some of you have a rut. Some of you have a canal. Some of you have a Grand Canyon of bad thinking. You say, Wayne, how do I get out of that? Get out of that rut. Real easy. Again, go back to the Word. The Word says this. Read it. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you... Yeah. Because we talk to ourselves. And be careful what you're talking about. Make sure you put truth in your heart. That's what Psalms says. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Read the answer. Go. He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous and who speaks truth in his heart. Yeah. If there's a rut going this way and you want to get out of the rut and you're riding a bicycle and you get near that rut and your front tire goes in the rut, what is the tendency to have happen to that front tire? What usually happens to your bike's front tire? It goes right into that rut. If you want to go cross current to that rut, when you hit it, you have to hang on to your handlebars like crazy. You want to go, get out of that thing. And the same thing is true. If you've developed a pattern of anger, dropping out, lust, it's going to come to your mind, hang on to your handlebars like crazy. When I first became a Christian, I came out of a horrible background, and swearing was just a way of life. Every third word was the F word or this word or that word. It was just constant. And when I became a Christian, I still kept the patterns of thinking, those creases. And it was so bad that I'd be praying, just praying, and a swear word would come in. in the midst of my prayer. Whoa, where did that come from? A rut. Because I had learned that whenever I wanted to be intense and I wanted to be really serious about something and I wanted to show strong emotion, I'd use a swear word. What the blank? It was just me trying to show that I was intentionally really into this thing. And you use words like that. After a while, it's a pattern, it's a habit. So when I'm praying, I'm real serious about something, these words would come into my mind. And I say, Lord, how do I get them out? You know what he said? Start memorizing the word, because I'll transform your mind. My word will transform your mind and it will give you a new landscape up here. So I began memorizing the scriptures, and that helped change my mind. You've got to speak truth in your heart. And the last card, remember, everybody's been given a choice. You say, Wayne, I'd like to play my hand right. Well, then you need to use your choice. And the most important thing you can do with your choice is, if you haven't done that, is I can choose Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's the greatest number five card there is, because you use your choice and give it to the King of your heart. The King of hearts is Jesus Christ. You've got to choose Him. If you've not chosen Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today, because He's the wild card. You've got to choose. Joshua 24, verse 15 says that. Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will. And then when you do that, that will change your cards. All the cards that you have here will change because of that one choice. What was the first card? Do you remember? Yeah, but when God changes, He takes all your cards and makes the best out of everything that you got, because you chose the King of Hearts, Jesus Christ. And then it's not the cards you've been given, but how you play them. And it's Jesus that'll make the best of your life. That's how you get a winning hand. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. Let's bow our heads. If you're here and you've never received Jesus, please do. It'll be the best choice you'll ever make. It's the most eternal decision you'll ever make in your life, to say yes to the one who rules our hearts. Otherwise, sin disconnects us from God and it decreases the value. Then we don't know how to deal with the cards that we've been given. We react, we get jealous of somebody else, we compare. I mean, everything goes bad. But when you make a choice to serve Jesus, that will give you the power. That choice will allow Christ to give you the power to get a winning hand and to see how He can bring everything out of that for the best. So if you're here and you say, you know, I need forgiveness of my sins, I need to receive Jesus because I need Him to change my heart, would you come into my life? I want to turn from my sin that's disconnected me from you and reconnect with you. If that's you right now, raise a hand and just let Jesus know. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you too. Yeah, yep, yep. Yeah, the Lord sees those. Okay, yep, both of you. In the back, yep. Yeah, the Lord sees that. On the side too, yeah. Would you repeat this prayer after me as we close? Repeat this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, the King of my heart. Change me. Make me the person you want me to be. I don't want to grumble about what I've received, but I choose you to help me to make wise choices. I receive you as Lord and Savior. Come into my heart in Jesus' name. Lord, that's a cry of our hearts. Thank you for these who said yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, congratulate these and welcome them, would you?
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, A Winning Hand. Thank you for listening. Now for Pastor Wayne, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.